Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And a very first good morning to you and a happy Friday here from 93.7 The Fan. It is the early morning show. I'm Matt Cole with you here till about 5:40 before the Fan Morning Show pre-show. It's the start of a new day brought to you by Greenbrier Treatment Center, 5:04 on this Friday morning. And we've made it to the end of yet another week. Last day before a vacation for me. I'll be off all of next week. So excited for that. Was supposed to go to the Dominican Republic, actually, this week, but that got canceled. For obvious reasons. Normally go down there, my wife and I, and on a mission trip. We're on a basketball and volleyball camp, but that was held off for this year. Kind of disappointing, but we're going to go to Michigan and enjoy some time with family, or not family, but friends. I guess they're like family. They live out there. Spend some time by the lake and go camping. So excited for that after this show today. And Cale Berger will be in all of next week here on the early morning show to fill in for that. Pitt pre- and post-game host for football and basketball, so he'll do a great job next week in filling in, I'm sure. So that's on the way after this show here today. But for today, you know, I'm on vacation starting next week, but there's still a couple of things that I'm a little jealous of this morning. And the first is that, did you happen to catch the idea that Joe Musgrove said on the PM team yesterday about how they should end games, baseball games, in this format whenever they return to baseball this year? So we already know that there's going to be a runner on second base. They've established that in extra innings, and potentially there's going to be some ties along the way. Yeah, that's kind of still details that need to be hashed out as well for Major League Baseball. But Joe Musgrove came on the PM team yesterday and said, you know what, I have a better idea for this. And I'm a little jealous that I didn't think of this. Have a home run derby, his explanation.
I mean, that's pure entertainment. You know, it's the one-on-one challenge you see in hockey. All the eyes are on one guy. You know, and I think it'd be exciting. Ultimately, that's what it seems like Manfred and, you know, MLB is trying to do, is, you know, enhance the excitement of the game and the intensity and the enjoyment for fans to watch.
All right, give me a little more, Joe.
I think that would be a lot of fun, you know, for the fans to watch. And I think it'd be a better alternative than starting a runner at second base. So if I had the choice between the two, I guess I'd probably take the home run derby than starting a runner at second.
Is it hokey? Absolutely it is. But I think this is going to be relatively a hokey year. I think this is more of how we should be thinking and less of a baseball traditionalist this year. It's going to be a rough year for the baseball traditionalist, for sure. Everything should be on the table because it's just a non-traditional year. Everyone knows that. They're going to play 60 games as opposed to 162. We're already thinking about different rules for extra innings and how we can shorten games and keep it all moving along. There's not going to be fans in the stands, at least in most venues. So everything's going to be weird. It's going to be off. Any season that only starts in late July is weird in itself. So I was pretty hard against the runner on second base to start extra innings thing, and I'm still not crazy about it, but whatever. You do it just to try to make it work for this year. If you have ties, if you need to, you go ahead and do that. Bring excitement into the game however you can do it. Baseball's in a position where they've driven fans away before the season even started because they bickered back and forth, talked about money and wasted time during a pandemic, and everybody was put off by that. Will there be fans that stay away from the game? I'm sure. Will there be as many fans that say they're going to stay away from the game that actually do? I'm sure that they won't as well. It'll be an NFL situation where once the games get back on TV, they're going to come watching. But that doesn't mean that this 60-game season shouldn't be treated as just kind of a blip in the radar of baseball history. Ultimately, you know, is this champion going to be legitimate? Is this season going to be looked at as legitimate as we look back on it years from now? I would say really no in both of those cases. So experiment, make it as entertaining as possible, bring us the best of what you can, I guess, in the sport, now that we've only got a couple months to actually enjoy it, and while we have live sports coming back onto the scene. So a little jealous that I didn't think of that home run derby idea from Joe Musgrove yesterday. And the second thing I'm a little jealous of this morning is that the Premier League, the English Premier League, is up and running, and they crowned a champion yesterday. Liverpool won its first title in 30 years. Their manager, Jurgen Klopp, on Sky Sports afterwards.
No, unfortunately, I have no words. It's unbelievable. It's much more than I ever thought what would be possible. Becoming chairman with this club is absolutely incredible. Knowing how much Kenny supported us. It's for you as well, Kenny. You had to wait another 30 years that your club can win it. It's for Stevie, who had to wait a long time. And now it's for all, because this all is built on your soul, Kenny, on the legs of Stevie. And the boys admire you. And it is easy for me to motivate the team because of our great history. And so it's just, it's unbelievable.
So a team is celebrating winning another title after 30 years not doing so, and it's just a pure sports moment where a team can actually celebrate something and celebrate an accomplishment. And there are surprisingly, a lot of Liverpool fans around here and just people that I know. I know my brother-in-law is a big Liverpool fan and didn't realize how popular they were until they won it all yesterday. But team sports, playing games. Remember that? Not here in this country, of course, as we have a league that, you know, argues about money and then, you know, not too much fault of their own, I guess, but the NBA and the NHL have been going through just a long process of getting back, where the NHL still hasn't decided what their hub cities are going to be. The NBA, the players have all these concerns about being in the Orlando bubble that they already figured out along the way, but that's still far away from being a for sure thing for the NBA. So it's just been hurdle after hurdle to jump through, and then you see across the pond, if you will, that there are champions being crowned, and there are celebrations from fan bases as reacting to live sporting events. Definitely a little jealous of that this morning, and caught a lot of that yesterday. And I also caught a little bit of Alex Reamer, who was on CBS Sports Radio here before me on the overnight, filling in for Amy Lawrence as I wrap up this first segment to begin the show today. And he was talking about Major League Baseball owners now. And we talked about this a little bit yesterday. Jim Crane in Houston saying that he wants to have and plans to have fans in the stands this upcoming season. Talked about just the overall fairness of that. And, you know, if that's something that actually should happen in Major League Baseball this year, and, you know, how fair is it really to have fans for one team as compared to no fans for just about every other team? And Alex Reamer was saying that he expects other team owners to pursue this concept as well. And you know what? Maybe they will. Why? Because Major League Baseball is allowing local governments to make these decisions themselves. It's on Major League Baseball, ultimately, to allow this to happen. And that was obviously a sticking point in negotiations, is that they weren't going to have that extra revenue from the gate. And that's why the owners were continuing to, you know, completely sabotage all of those talks with the players, and why they refused to offer them their prorated salaries until the very, very end, whenever it was only offering them 60 games, and why we waited around and for a month and a half while they went back and forth and had that public spat. And now here we are in a mandated season from Rob Manfred. And now all of a sudden, all these owners are saying, yeah, well, we're going to have fans in the stands. We're going to make it work. And Jim Crane in Houston, I believe, from what I've seen, is the only owner that has gone on the record in saying that. But apparently there's some more rumors that other owners are going to do that as well. Is it a little bit, you know, shady? Maybe. But if the option is there to make that money and pursue it, they're going to pursue it. I mean, they're in there to make money. Sports, at the end of the day, is a business. And I don't blame them for that. I'm certainly not here to stick up for billionaire owners, especially not now, after, you know, what we have seen them do. But I'm not sure I can rip them for going after this idea and pursuing all that they can. And I don't know if is it a little bit seedy and a little bit shady, considering that that was their hard stance and why they weren't going to offer that money to the players, because there wasn't seemingly any chance there was going to be fans in the stands. Okay, maybe. But if the opportunity's there to make that money, you go ahead and do it. All right, coming up next, a few things that happened in sports yesterday, including Tom Brady's Tampa Bay Buccaneers career is off to just a really weird start. And also, one player is back and ready to go for an AFC North foe. Does it matter? And to wrap up the show today, should there be any banners put up for sports in 2020 for any team that wins any kind of title? Get into that before the end of the show today. It's all on the way. It's the Early Morning Show on 93.7 The Fan. The time is 5:17. It's brought to you by AirPro Heating and Cooling. Visit aphvac.com. If you're up this early, you're listening live, you may miss some things later on in the sports world from the night before, and we use this segment to go over those things. So here we go.
Time now for While Yins Was Sleeping on Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan.
This not necessarily from overnight, but a big thing that happened yesterday. For the first time, NASCAR released a photo of the noose, and it was, in fact, a noose hanging from the stall, used by black driver Bubba Wallace and the Richard Petty Motorsports team last weekend. The FBI determined, of course, that it wasn't a hate crime, that it had been committed in relation to it. Said it had been in the stall since that NASCAR series visited the track last October. Interesting, though, NASCAR president Steve Phelps said the organization continued its investigation of the incident after the conclusion of the FBI investigation. And Phelps said that sweeps of every track in the Cup Series were conducted as part of the NASCAR investigation. And that included 29 speedways and over 1,600 garage stalls. And Phelps said that 11 pull-down ropes with knot ties had been found, but only one, fashioned like a noose, was in the Talladega garage. So you can make your own conclusions, I guess, based off of that information, with not only NASCAR's investigation, but the FBI's investigation. Also from yesterday, I mentioned this in the update, the NFL approved a proposal, or just what they're going to do for the upcoming season, the owners did, of allowing teams to cover the seats closest to the field with a tarp that would include sponsor logos. So they say this does two things for them. One is that theoretically it keeps fans away from the first 6 to 8 rows of the stadiums, if in fact there are fans in the stands this year in the NFL. And that's to keep fans and players away, so that's more social distancing, I guess. But also, I mean, and probably the main reason, if we're going to split the reason up, it's probably 85% to make money off of the sponsors and the logos off of these tarps, and about 15% of the actual social distancing part of this whole thing. And that's my own conjecture. That's not the NFL saying this. But I just wonder, what are you going to do with the fans that have season tickets that have seats right there? I mean, where do they go? They just go straight back 6 to 8 rows? Do you put them somewhere else in the stadium? I mean, that's can be a pretty big difference. I don't know what the capacity of these stadiums are going to be, if they're going to be half full or close to fully full. Who knows? But, you know, what are you going to do with those fans? And how are you going to make amends with that? That still is a question you know, left to be decided for the NFL in this whole thing. But of course, they're going to figure out any way possible to make up for lost money, and good on them for doing so. And I wouldn't be surprised if other leagues do this as well. They obviously should, especially Major League Baseball making up that money for them. And then also from yesterday, Bucks wide receiver Chris Godwin, he gave up his number 12 jersey for, of course, Tom Brady coming into Tampa Bay. And he said on the check down yesterday that he had been wearing number 12 since high school, and it means a lot to him. And said, quote, "At first it bothered me a little bit. It was kind of getting at me because it was part of my identity. But when the GOAT comes calling you, you kind of concede to him. Like I said, hopefully I can get a ring or two or three out of that. I was more than happy to do it, and I've created a persona, 1-4 now, I guess, is Chris Godwin." So a little perturbed by having to give up his number 12 number to Tom Brady. And it's just, you know, it's a stupid story. It's a jersey number, whatever. But Tom Brady's Tampa Bay career has gotten off to just a wacky, wacky start. Remember whenever he broke into somebody's house he thought was Byron Leftwich trying to meet with him about the playbook and just kind of Homer Simpsoned his way out of it, you know, just walking through the door and then walking right back out, realizing that it was the wrong house. And now lately he's been in some hot water because apparently he's meeting with a bunch of his teammates. You know, the NFL has said, hey, you can't meet in large groups with your teams. But apparently he's been meeting with like 15, 20 plus players and has been posting pictures on social media with him working out and just isn't really hiding it very much. And it just seems like Tom Brady, even though he's out of New England, is still carrying this idea and this mantra of, hey, I'm the man, I can do whatever I want, try and stop me because I'm Tom Brady, even though I'm coming into Tampa Bay and trying to, you know, turn this franchise around. So not necessarily in how he has spoken out throughout the way, but definitely in the mistakes that he's made, and also in just his I don't even give a blank attitude in Tampa Bay. He's gotten things off to a rousing start, and I'm sure the Buccaneers are going to just, and their fans are going to eat this up throughout the entire year, as they should. All right, coming up next, there is a one wide receiver who's making his way back in the AFC North that we've got to talk about. And also, to end the show today, banners in sports for 2020, as in championship banners. Should they be there? That's next. It's the start of a new day brought to you by Greenbrier Treatment Center. With you here for just a few more minutes on the early morning show before the Fan Morning Show pre-show. Colin Dunlap and Jim Colony today. No Chris Mack. He has the day off. So it'll be Colin and Jim taking over. 8:30 today. We've got The Rock, John Wehner, joining the show, and I think he's going to start doing some weekly stuff with us again, as now we're getting closer to baseball, so we're going to be very excited to have him back on the show. He's always entertaining. So 8:30 today, John Wehner will join the show, and it reminds me, in doing just promotions for the Fan Morning Show, of something that was sent to me from Bill Steinbach, who normally produces Paul Zeiss's show, that apparently Zeiss, a little fired up about Fan Morning Show promos being back on his show. We record something every day that's about, you know, 10 to 15 seconds long, that's just previewing the next day's show, and apparently this happened this week.
It's a big Wednesday on the Fan Morning Show.
Baseball players had until 5 o'clock to get back to the owners. Did they? What's it mean for that 60-game season to be enacted? We talk about it with Matt Clement Wednesday morning.
All get started at 5:40 a.m. with a pre-show.
Oh, now we're back to having those two guys talking to my show. We got away from that, Bill, for a while. Now we got those two guys. I don't get to talk on their show. Why are they talking on my show? Oh, boy. That was one of the great things about not having, you know, I didn't have to hear that for the last 3 months. Oh, God.
Whoa. Terminator Zeiss coming in as well, Paul. He's had himself, every once in a while I tune in, and he just seems like he's just having himself a day sometimes later on at night, and he's just trying to grind through that show. Maybe it caught him in the wrong moment to have the Fan Morning Show promo in his show. Okay. All right. Cleveland Browns coach Kevin Stefanski, he said that receiver Odell Beckham Jr. is free and clear. And if you don't believe me, if I can pull it up here, here is Stefanski saying it himself.
As it pertains to Jarvis and Odell, I mean, they had two very different surgeries. So Odell's free and clear. I mean, he's 100%. He's looking really good. And Jarvis, to his credit, I mean, he's looking great. Some of the videos I've seen of him moving around. So we'll have a plan for them with Joe and the athletic training staff. We'll make sure that we ramp both of them up appropriately.
Again, Kevin Stefanski there, Browns' new head coach, talking on a Zoom call with Browns reporters yesterday. Is Odell Beckham Jr. really good, or is he really overrated? I'm trying to decide how I feel about him for next year and him as a Cleveland Brown. 74 receptions, over 1,000 yards receiving last year and 4 touchdowns in what was considered to be a down year for him. And I think he kind of turned it on toward the end of the year. And believe me, I would, you know, know that it was a down year because I had him on my fantasy team, spent like a second or third round pick on him, and he screwed me over. But, you know, I would have a really quick hook on OBJ this year if I were the Cleveland Browns. I'm not really sure if he's an elite receiver. They've got a lot of other options, though, to insulate themselves from him being just a roller coaster of emotions and sometimes of performance. And maybe it was more so because Baker Mayfield just couldn't get him the ball consistently enough last year and why his stats were down. But I would have a quick hook on him as far as in trade talks. And I would be in some sneaky trade talks right now, or at least let the league know that he could be available this year, really, if I'm Cleveland. Because as soon as he creates a rift, see you later. Not worth it. Not with that team, not with everybody else around him, with Jarvis Landry, Austin Hooper coming in this year, one of the top tight ends in the league. Kareem Hunt's there, Nick Chubb is there. They've got plenty of other options than to deal with that headache, if indeed he is a headache this year for Cleveland. And Stefanski ran the ball a lot with Dalvin Cook last year in Minnesota. And the dynamics, I think, are very similar in Cleveland, where you've got a big-time running back, or running backs in this case, with both Hunt and Chubb there in Cleveland. And a quarterback who hasn't really proven to carry an offense yet, Kirk Cousins in Minnesota, Baker Mayfield in Cleveland, and two dynamic options in the passing game, as it was Thielen and Diggs in Minnesota, and now here's Landry and Beckham, and even add on Austin Hooper as well, and he still chose to run the ball a lot with Dalvin Cook. So there is still a possibility that he does that with both Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, and there is Odell Beckham Jr. left to be complaining about not getting 15 targets a game, which he has done sporadically throughout his career. We know that he doesn't necessarily go quietly if he's not getting the ball thrown his way. So I don't know if he's really all that good, to answer the question. If he's really good or really overrated, I think especially in an offense like this one, he might get overshadowed a little bit. And maybe I'll eat those words. I think the Browns, I've said this before, they've got so much talent that they can just back their way into 7 or 8 wins this year. They should be able to do that, even more so than last year whenever they had all that hype around them. And for me personally, I expect a little bit more than 8 wins, and I think there might be about a game or two separation between them and the Steelers either way. I think it'll be pretty tight this year, and maybe that's way too much hype going that way for Cleveland on my part, but that's just how I look at it for 2020. Also, to round out the show today, I was thinking about this last night. Should there be any banners for sports in 2020? I know we get caught up in talking about silly stuff like asterisks and, you know, history books and all this kind of stuff. But if a team wins a championship this year, should they put up that banner in their stadium? And the cop-out answer for me is that it depends on the sport. Hockey and basketball, both of them played like 85 to 90% of the regular season. And this is the best version of what they can do to kind of crown a champion. So I would be comfortable with that for sure. Like if the Penguins make a deep run and end up winning a Stanley Cup this year, I'd be okay with that banner being hung and say, yes, that was legitimate in winning that. They did all they could to kind of rectify that situation and get it back on track. the NFL, as long as 16 games are played with a playoff system, then yes. Baseball, meanwhile, and Joe Musgrove says, you know, shout out to, you know, all the haters and saying that, you know, we don't have a chance this year and saying, oh, you know, that's all talk outside the organization. We're going to go for it and we're going to have a chance because it's only 60 games and you only need to get hot once throughout the year. Okay. If the Pirates ran into some kind of magic and win the World Series, no way I'd feel comfortable in, you know, quote unquote, claiming that or celebrating that as a fan. I just wouldn't. I don't even know how I'd feel about it. I'd be kind of like trying to think of a real life situation here. I don't know. It's be like winning a tournament in baseball growing up as a kid where, you know, you won, you were the best among those teams for that short amount of time, but does that necessarily mean that you're the best, you know, baseball team in the area or in the country or even in the state? No, of course not. So it has a little bit of that kind of feeling. So, you know, if we're talking about all of these little things in sports for 2020, like banners, I think every other sport would be okay to do so. It's just baseball that's going to be a completely wacky one. All right, let's round out the show today with this.
It's time for Gone in 40 Seconds. One last 40-second take to send you into the rest of the morning on the Early Morning Show. Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan.
I want to take 40 seconds to thank you, the listener. Not to get too sappy here, but I just want to sincerely thank you, and I think I speak for the entire staff here at The Fan when I say this, for continuing to listen and to support us during these times. And these, you know, there hasn't been live sports for about 3 months now, yet a lot of you have never strayed away. You stayed loyal listeners. You tuned in anyway. We've had to get creative and still provide compelling content, and hopefully we've been able to do that well throughout this pandemic. And hopefully we've still been able to provide that escape for you as well. So again, thank you for listening, for interacting, for keeping us sane along the way as well. Enjoy your weekend, and I'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks. Fan weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet in McMurray. The sun is shining, and that means great June deals and incentives. Visit their showroom or go to sunchevy.com. Today, a little bit of rain around, but a high of 78. And then tonight, a possible thunderstorm as well, and a low of 62. The pre-show, it's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.